favorite wing. I always say the next one.
Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
Hello and welcome to NFL Only Better, and we are right into the business end of the season because there are only four teams left in the chase for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The Super Bowl is just around the corner. Joining me here in studio to chat about the four teams that are left in the competition is, of course, the man himself, never missed an episode, Mr. John Baff. John,
Kieran, thanks for coming in. Hello. It's getting to the end of our stretch here.
Happy New Year, John.
I feel you're making fun of me by saying that a little bit, Kieran. Well, thank you for having me once again, Kieran. This is our last show, I believe, of the season in the studio here. So it's a somber affair.
It is the last show that will take place in the Dublin studio. We will be in London with Mike. Mike joining us on the line, Mike Carlson from Carlson Stately Manor. Mike, how are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well. I would say that the business end began back in September because it's all business. But
you're always all business, Mike. We know that about you.
Yeah, that's right. Let's call this coming around the last turn, you know, and heading for the straightaway.
Probably are, yeah. So as we mentioned, we are going to be recording in London in 2 weeks' time, and that show will be up on YouTube as well. It'll be the three of us in studio over in London chatting about the Super Bowl. So this is the last episode. Yeah. So it's a very emotional affair. I have, as the next episode is in 2 weeks, is the final one, I've written a letter to Andrew Bocelli to ask him to come on and sing Time to Say Goodbye.
What did he say?
Well, I've now realised he's blind.
Yeah, yeah. There's ways around that, though.
I'm unsure he'll read the letter.
It's 2020. Happy New Year, by the way.
I'm sure he'll read the letter. Let's talk about what we got right and wrong at the weekend. And we were pretty good. Now, I will get on to the fact that I had an angry hot take that said none of the teams that won in wildcard weekend would win in the divisional round of games, which did prove to be wrong.
Yes.
However, it is worth saying that our best bets, which was mine, was mine was San Francisco, my boy Jimmy G, -7. That clicked, and you guys both went for what I would call kind of girly bets, like, oh, I don't know, so I'll just pick the under. I'll just pick the under in the Saturday games. But you both went for the unders, which I'm not that impressed with, but they did win, so I was just going for the under, and it was such an obvious bet.
I'm sorry for giving you a correct tip, Kieran.
I was right, but I'm not impressed by you guys being right. that's a good take.
And Kieran also started that little speech by saying, I did get that one thing wrong, but apart from that.
That was more of a hot take, one of Kieran's legendary hot takes on the show.
This entire show is a hot take.
I do absolutely no research. Barely watch the games.
Well, you know, this week, to avoid confusion last week, I actually, my best bet with you guys, the reason I did it was so I would be able to remember what it was. I put it as the best bet in my column on Friday as well. So it paid off twice.
It was the under, right?
It was the under in Tennessee, Baltimore. I should get extra credit for that. Otherwise, it was like bad beat weekend because on the column, I had suggested taking Kirk Cousins over 21.5 completions. In other words, 22 completions. Yeah. How many did he have?
21.
And every time one ball got dropped, I was screaming. And then my final one, which was the outside bet, which wasn't really an outside bet because I actually thought it was just as good as the best bet, was Seattle plus 4.5. What was the margin?
Four.
Five.
Five.
Why
was it five? Because they went for two, obviously, at the end of the game. So if they'd kicked, it would have covered, or if they'd made the two, it would have covered, but they didn't. So I was screaming at that one as well.
Well, since we're doing bad beats, I will mention my one in the Seattle Green Bay game. I'm just getting it up here. The bet, obviously, it was a sixfold, right? And here's what it was, guys. It was Green Bay, Seattle, all in the same game multi, right?
Yeah.
Devontae Adams to score a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch less than 35 or more rushing yards. Mm-hmm. I said, check. Adams scored a touchdown. 47 or more total points in the game. Over.
Check.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers to win by 5 or more. Check.
Check.
DK Metcalf less than 64 receiving yards.
Ooh, yeah.
What did he get check. There? Yeah, check. That's a
59.
Check. Okay.
The final 59. Leg of the same game multi that was returning over 500. Aaron Rodgers, 252 or more passing yards over.
No. Ooh.
Oh, no. And what did he finish with?
I'll get you remind exactly. Me. I'm pretty sure it was
243.
Oh, you're joking me. You're 10 yards away?
Yep. I was one first down away from it.
That's pretty harsh, Kieran.
Yeah. And it's the first big sort of like six-fold same game multi type thing that I did because I was like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Here's my hot take on that.
Don't do them.
Shouldn't you have been a little bit wiser hosting this podcast? Shouldn't you have known better that Aaron Rodgers wouldn't actually hit that total?
Yes, because we did. And actually, Mike, it's we don't do a running order. One of the things that I spoke about to people is it true that Aaron Rodgers can't change the plays now with LaFleur? Like, that's not real. That's not a real statement, is it?
It looks to me like he does change them at times. But that may be when two are called, when there's an option on it. I doubt that he is banned from doing that because you couldn't really do it. But as I keep saying with Aaron Rodgers, one of the things is what play is called then sort of becomes secondary to how long he decides to hang around in the pocket before he throws it. And he's very effective when the play breaks down. But you do see that he's looking for a specific receiver and then goes to Devontae Adams. he literally only targeted, besides Adams and Jimmy Graham, who I think had four targets, no other receiver got more than one target apart from one. I can't remember who it was, who had two. But, you know, it's basically they designed plays to kind of get MVS or Allison or whoever, you know, open. And then when he doesn't see them open, he goes to Devontae Adams, wherever he is. But that first touchdown to Devontae was just a thing of beauty in terms of play design, you know, and where he goes in as if he's going to cross with the inside receiver and then cuts to the outside. And both of the defensive backs covering the two guys, you know, just fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. It was gorgeous, and I thought Rodgers had a really good game. But you know, this lack of receivers he trusts is going to hurt him against the Niners.
Yeah, I think so. And I suppose we'll put the ribbon on that one since we began by speaking about it. Even Kieran, you got to give Seattle a lot of credit in the end. I actually thought that it could have been a blowout. I really did. And I thought when it went 21-0 or something like that.
Yeah, it was looking that way for a while, wasn't it? Yeah.
My thought has been, but Russell Wilson basically did what he does. He put the team on his back and...
extends plays, finds something.
It's funny, Mike, because like if you can't run, then you can't do play action because everyone knows you're not actually going to run the ball. So you can't do that. So
that's an interesting one. I think you notice when teams run play action, it's often a very desultory sort of fake. They're mostly depending on the blocking, simply holding up the pass rush for an extra beat or so. I don't think you don't necessarily need to be successful. Where it does hurt you is that you're not getting any run yardage when you have to run, you know, or when it's open to run. And Wilson was their leading rusher, obviously. And the only one who was particularly effective. Lynch, I think in another 2 weeks, Lynch will be in good enough shape to gain more than 35 yards. He had a remarkable post-game press conference, you know, warning guys about protecting their money, protecting their family, protecting their chickens, which I assumed he meant chickens meant like food for the family, but I wasn't sure. But the interesting thing was we thought going into the game that Green Bay's pattern had been to score a lot of points in the first quarter and then not many the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And they extended that to the second quarter. And they went up, you know, they were up 21-3. And then Seattle's modus operandi is basically to stay close and let Russell Wilson win it for you. In this case, they had to come back and let Russell Wilson win it. But in the end, the statistics were remarkably close. Only one difference in first downs, only like 25 yards in total yardage. red zone, they were both 3 for 3, and possession was 30.5 to 29.5. So, you know, it turned out to be a game of two halves that was a very even game in a lot of ways.
It did, yeah. And in the other game, which we're going to move on to, I suppose, really, I mean, Chiefs 51, Texans 31, if you saw that scoreline. But again, like, you'd have to say that it was pretty 50-50 in terms, for long periods, in terms of how many times they had the ball. Time of possession, really, Houston had the ball more. I mean, Kansas just scored in 60 seconds.
And that's the crazy thing. Houston ran 78 plays in that game, and Kansas City ran 57, they were 8 yards apart in total yardage.
Yeah, it's incredible. That sequence where, I can't remember, was it 6 drives in a row or 5 drives in a row?
Seven.
Was it 7 drives in a row they scored a touchdown from?
I think so, yeah.
It was insane. And you know, there was a good comparison to be made. Everybody talked about what went wrong with Baltimore. Baltimore and Kansas City had very, very similar first quarters. You think about that first interception to Byard, which went through Andrews' hands. Baltimore was making mistakes early, and Tennessee capitalized them. They were only up 14-6 at the half, but Baltimore were already playing as if they were in a big hole. And they're not designed to do that. You know, Ingram and Gus Edwards together only had 9 carries in the game. And so they sort of went away from the run game that got them there, apart from letting Lamar run. And sure, Tennessee was designed. They were kind of designed to take away, if it was a run pass option, to take away that inside run and make Lamar beat them outside. But even saying that, I thought Baltimore, if I had not seen the game and woke up in the morning and saw Lamar had thrown 59 passes, I would have assumed that they lost. Kansas City, on the other hand, they were down, 24-3? 24-0?
24-0. They scored 28.
24-0. Yeah. And then it was like Andy Reid is kind of like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to abandon the run game, which I already abandoned 2 minutes into the game. So let's go. And, you know, and they did what they do. The failure of Houston to adjust to, we can't cover Jason Kelce. Mm. So what are we going to do was remarkable. You know, to let him, after that first drop, which was so costly to them, to let him beat them the way he did, was just to me remarkable.
I wonder if they look back on it and they say, should we have kicked the field goal at 21-0 up? Should we have hammered that home? Because I think it was like a 4th and 2, 4th and 3. Obviously, they were within field goal range.
Yeah.
But at that stage, Kansas were low and were starting to feel it. Looking, it's hard.
So you say go for it.
Go for it on 4th down. They give the ball back at 21-0. Mm. Kansas were already ripping them apart, even though they hadn't scored. They were genuinely it was only drop passes that stopped them. I think Bill O'Brien made a mistake there, part of many he made during the game.
Type thing? Is that a hindsight 2020?
I think
situation?
A 21-0.
If you scored 21 points in the first quarter, you know what's better than that? 24 points is better than that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that was Bill O'Brien's first thought was let's not, you know, if we don't make it, we're giving them a boost.
Yeah.
Let's put three more on the board. And then, of course, Watson was saying, let's go for it. And they had to call a timeout, which was ridiculous because he said after the game he didn't have a play ready for it. Well, you know, if you can't figure out a play to get you a yard on 4th down, it's pretty silly. And then they compounded it with the fake kick. And
which would have been genius again, if it came off. And it was very close to coming off.
I'm not criticizing it at all because I thought it was a stroke of genius. And, you know, Sorensen made a play. Yeah. It's the only way to describe it. The only guy who could have stopped it. It was not a bad decision, I don't think. The execution was not bad. I think Tony Romo said they should have run it quicker, or maybe it was Jay Feely, which was a good point. If you're going to run a fake, you want to come up and, you know, not give the other team time to look around and say, oh, maybe they're faking it. But even so, Sorensen would have been where he was and made a play. So, you know, I think Bill O'Brien is taking a little bit too much stick for that sort of deer in the headlights thing, when really the problem was their defense being unable to stop Kansas City.
Well, you know, one of the most interesting things about that game is how it moved online. So I checked it around 21-0 and Kansas were 5-2 in running. When it went to 24, they touched 3-1 for a very, very short amount of time. Any other team in the NFL, that would have been double the price. Even that early on, it would have been 6-7, maybe even 10-1.
What I was about to say. It's amazing that they could be that the odds could be that tight when they're down 24-0.
Yeah, it was just because I went on. I was like, you know what? If Kansas are like 5-6-1, they're definitely worth a tenner here.
Yeah.
And then I saw 5-2, 3-1. I was like, no way, no way,
not touching that. Yeah.
Mike, the other game the San Fran game. Obviously, San Francisco were very impressive, and they did exactly what we thought. But the big shock of the weekend came in the late Saturday game. I did stay up for both games of the later games after saying I wouldn't, but I just felt, you know, come on, might as well. Like it's ending now, you know. Don't record the game and watch the next day. So, and I sat in shock and tiredness as. We mentioned the Ravens. Interestingly enough, I don't have the stats in front of me. I've just lost them somewhere along the line of notes. But the Ravens' drives regularly ended in territory that they could have kicked field goals, but they just didn't.
Which is strange when you consider they have probably the best field goal kicker in the league, in Justin Tucker. And I'm not sure why you wouldn't, because it isn't like Tennessee is Kansas City or Green Bay or even Seattle or San Francisco or Houston. They're not an explosive kind of scoring team. Khalif Raymond, the exception. It's weird. I mean, how many weeks in a row does Khalif Raymond catch one pass for 45 or 50 yards, either a touchdown or not? You know, it's like if he's in the game, you need to pay attention to the fact that he's probably going to run deep and catch one. But, you know, Tennessee, Baltimore are not designed to come from behind, as I was saying earlier. And Tennessee simply hold the ball for possession, even though they didn't win the time of possession in this one, but they didn't have to because they were up the whole way. It was a great situation for them. And Lamar Jackson in that game threw more than twice as many passes as Ryan Tannehill has attempted in the two playoff games put together.
Yeah.
Tannehill's only thrown 29 passes in two games, and he's only passed for like 160 yards in those two games.
Which is
72
crazy.
And 88 yards, which is crazy in today's NFL.
Versus Lamar Jackson getting 365 just in that game alone.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, what people will look at this week with Tennessee going to Kansas City, where they won earlier in the season, you know, is that thing. If Kansas City come out to another slow start and Tennessee build a lead, are they equipped to slow Kansas City down? You know, can they take away the possessions from Kansas City and make that work in a way that Houston was completely unable to do?
Yeah, well, we will find out. And it brings us along. We won't chat much about the San Francisco game. Generally, San Francisco were excellent, ran the ball really, really well, and never let the Vikings get much into it. Which leaves us down to four, gentlemen. Tennessee Titans head to the Kansas City Chiefs, as we mentioned. And of course, those of who are regular listeners to the podcast will notice that around about 6 weeks ago, we had a bit of a Ryan Tannehill love-in.
Yeah.
Where we mentioned a lot about how good it was. It was mainly done by Mike, who started the conversation about how much he thought he was great.
Well, that's why we pay him. I mean, look at this. He was completely right. Tannehill is...
We don't pay him. Just cover the mic.
Sorry about that, Kevin. Sorry about that
don't
part.
Mention that. But, and then the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. I'm glad it's the Tennessee Titans, the Kansas City Chiefs. I did make a joke that then everyone used, John, which was basically that the Titans at Texans would have been a Thursday night game, not the AFC Championship.
That was a very funny joke.
There were a couple of those going on during the commentary. Like, you know, somebody said that on the San Francisco Minnesota game, the commentators, they said they sound like they're doing a Thursday night game. You know, I'm sort of hoping for Kansas City simply because I picked them at the start of the season, and it would be nice to have one of my two picks in the Super Bowl. And I went back last year. Last year, I picked the Patriots to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl at the start of the season, right?
Yes,
so
you did.
I was feeling pretty good about that. But then I looked at my picks, and I may have mentioned that I pick all the games straight up on my Patreon site on Fridays. I might have mentioned that once or twice over the season. Yeah, but I went back and looked at last year, and in the conference games last year, although I had picked New England and the Rams to get to the Super Bowl, I actually picked Kansas City and New Orleans beat them in the conference. I was picking against my preseason picks, and of course, both were wrong. So although I looked really smart by picking those two teams, this is the kind of business where looking smart can often be an illusion.
Mike, have you had a chance to check the handicaps yet, or should I let you guess?
No, I haven't.
Well, we let you go on both games there really quickly. What do you think? Well, so Tennessee at Kansas?
In Tennessee, it's Kansas City, remember, because Kansas City's in Missouri, not Kansas.
Kieran, this is basic stuff.
This is your American pedant. I'm a combination of the two worst things in the world.
Second last show.
And Kieran and I have actually talked about this before.
It's such an odd thing that the stadium is there, but anyway.
Yeah. So Kieran, you knew
that. I'm gonna say even though the Chiefs lost to Tennessee early in the season and Tennessee's coming off two really good wins in a row, the Chiefs are going to be favorites by a touchdown. So 7, say.
It's 7.5. And the over-under is 52.
Which
obviously, if it goes over 52, I'm just going to flat out say Kansas have won.
They played, that's not necessarily true. They played earlier this season, and the total points between them was what? Let me do my math. 67 points, and the Titans won.
Don't hit me with a fact after I do a hot take. You know how much I hate that, John.
I think this is an interesting... maybe you won't believe me when I say this, but the last 2 weeks when we've been making our picks, when the Titans had the Patriots...
You've been a fan of the Titans.
I have.
Both times.
And I've talked myself out, when I'm doing my little research and my notes, I've talked myself out prior to the show of just straight up picking the Titans to win those games. But... So I don't know if I actually do it this time. It definitely means they'll lose. So I don't know how to approach it this time. But the things to consider, the things that are in my mind anyway, when I consider this game, obviously we have mentioned it kind of already in the show so far, but the two big away wins that the Titans just had in these playoffs, that means they've got a bit of momentum. They've got experience on the road. They're clearly like their situation at the moment. As we mentioned, Tannehill, despite the fact that he's, what it was in the last game, it was 7 completions he made. But the tandem of him working with Derrick Henry, who, if you look at his last 8 games, just purely statistically in terms of yardage and touchdowns and things like this, no running back in the history of the NFL has had an 8 game stretch like Derrick Henry's currently having. He's got, what does he have here? He's got almost 1,300 yards in his last 8 games alone. Wow. And he ran for 188 yards the last time he played the Chiefs. So I think that is an interesting thing. And the other point I've made the last 2 weeks talking about the Titans is I think that they're among the, if not the best second half team in football. So to beat the Titans, I think you have to stretch up a big lead in the first half. And the Chiefs, judging by their evidence against Houston last week, they can score 30 points in a quarter if they want to. But it's a matter of whether they will against a team that has maybe a slightly different defensive look than they faced last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if the Titans will be looking, because with Dane Pease as their coordinator, if they'll be looking at the way the Patriots played Kansas City. Because remember, the Patriots should have beaten Kansas City. They had 2 touchdowns taken off the board.
Yeah.
And an awful non-call on a pass to Philip Dorsett, which would have put them inside the 10. So therefore, a possible third touchdown or maybe a field goal. And they held the Chiefs' offense in check pretty well. Now, the Chiefs' offense is a bit better than it was then because people are healthier. And their defense should be better than it was the first time they played Tennessee, especially if Chris Jones is able to play, because they need him inside, obviously. But, what Tennessee do? And the Patriots, when they played them, basically gave Derrick Henry the run. They were selling out against the pass. And the Chiefs said, thank you very much. And where, Bill Belichick probably expected that Henry would get 100 or 120 yards. He got 185. And, they were able to stop the Patriots at the goal line and then go down it with a minute and a half left in the first half, completely on the run. A whole drive of run plays in 2-minute drill, which I've never really seen before, that I can remember. So I think this is, this is probably a game where if the Chiefs don't take a lead early, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And Tennessee obviously doesn't fear playing on the road. If they were to beat the Chiefs, it would be the first time in NFL history since they went to four divisions that a team had beaten all four division leaders in consecutive weeks on the road.
And then they lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Patriots did a regular season undefeated and then lost the Super Bowl. So
Yeah.
I mean, getting a touchdown is very, very tempting with Tennessee because keeping the game tight is going to be the solution we think. But I think straight up, I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs at home. It's just so hard to think not.
Yeah. Now, what about that over-under, lads? 52.5. Now, a reminder that last week it was 51, and we felt that was strong. And then Kansas actually scored 51 themselves. Anyone on the over was pretty okay from pretty early on in the game. It was 14-0 with 4 minutes.
They're delighted by halftime in that game.
Yeah.
If you're gonna bet the Titans, I would go with the under.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
Because if they're gonna win the game or stay within a touchdown, I would think that it's gonna be a relatively low scoring game.
Yeah, but like, we got to be serious here for a moment. Like, watching how Kansas played when they get going, do we think the Titans have stuff in the secondary that can stop them? Like, how do you stop Travis Kelce? Like, how do you stop that?
Well, the Titans have a decent pair of linebackers, and Rashawn Evans in particular can help out on that kind of stuff. And I think Kevin Byard ought to be getting more recognition for how good he is as a free safety in terms. Now, he won't necessarily be covering Kelce, but in terms of being in the right place at the right time. So, you know, when Andrews, that pass went through his hands, Byard wasn't covering Andrews, but he had reacted to Lamar Jackson's eyes and you know, went there behind him to be in position to make the tackle and scoop up that ball. So I would think that would be one of their keys. And of course, the problem is, if you decide to do that, you're then leaving the possibility open for the wide receivers to break the long play against you, which is what even what Houston was trying desperately to stop. You want to stop Hardman and Hill from getting easy touchdowns on you, make them work for it a little bit, which is one of the reasons why Kelce was so open. And the one everyone talks about Tennessee's secondary not being all that great. But, you know, partly it's because Malcolm Butler isn't there. He's out injured. And Logan Ryan, who's a good cornerback, is not a speed kind of cornerback. So you don't want him necessarily having to cover Hardman or Hill man-to-man. If Adoree Jackson's playing, which he was, he's a guy who can do that for you. And so I think he's really, really crucial to the way that they play. And Kenny Vaccaro is probably the guy who winds up having to cover Jason Kelce most of the time. And you know, that was really the thing that killed Houston.
Do you know a Jason Kelce?
There is a Jason Kelce, but I think you mean Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Travis Kelce. Yeah, Jason's his brother.
I thought so, yeah.
Seriously, played center for the Eagles.
That's true. That is, yeah. Just hold on there, guys, then. Right. So we'll get a roundup of our bets for Tennessee Titans at Kansas. But the other game is Green Bay at San Francisco 49ers. Did we all notice that Green Bay used that delay of game thing as well in the second half?
Oh, I missed that part. Did they?
No, we didn't because some of us went to bed.
Yeah. Green Bay did it again, Mike. It's popped up again in the playoffs.
Yeah, watch the second half in the morning because I just figured in the end it wouldn't make that much of a difference if I did or I didn't. It's nothing if not a copycat league. And rest assured that will, that loophole will be taken out of the rules in the offseason.
It's my new favorite play is to watch them do the delay of game under, with 5 minutes still to go. It's great. Yeah, so Green Bay.
And I mean, what they need, all they need to do is to change the way the clock, you know, is not put the clock back in motion after you take it, because there are legitimate reasons for taking a delay of game when you're punting, especially when you're in the opponent's territory and punting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, get a bit of space. I mean, clock management. I'd like to see it in rugby, John. I know you're a big fan of rugby. You know, at scrum times, I'd like them to turn the clock off until the ball goes into the scrum. Now, there you go.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
But it's this thing of like 3 minute scrums because the referee's talking to them. It's like, no, turn the time off, and when the ball goes into the scrum, turn the time back on.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of inbuilt blind spots in the sport, though, because it's those players are so tired, especially in the front row. Yeah, it's kind of built in to make them get a little bit of rest.
Well, no.
Yeah, turn off the referee's microphone and then say in his ear, nobody's listening.
So Green Bay, obviously the Green Bay players will have never seen the sun, so that's going to be a problem for them at San Francisco. Mike, what do you think the spread is?
This one, 5.5.
It is 7.5.
The same as the other game. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, so, they're not giving Aaron Rodgers much comps here, are they?
They're giving about as much leeway as Matt LaFleur gives him when he goes and steps out onto the field, it will appear. The over-under on this is 45. It is 11:40, John. Again, it's going to be a late night.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've
that might be a next day game.
Yeah, the NFL's changed the traditional timings of the divisional and conference games to try to, you know, push them further into prime time.
Yeah. Well, the Super Bowl is 11:30 our time as well.
Yeah, well, that's normal.
But don't worry, yeah. Kieran, the Pro Bowl's on at 8 p.m.
Yeah. What's the over-under on that, 112? Yeah.
I actually backed the AFC in last year's Pro Bowl.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Who won? I don't even remember.
They won. So Green Bay head to San Francisco, 27-10 on the money line about the Green Bay Packers. San Francisco 49ers 2-7, 7-5, 45 points. Mike, look, you obviously picked Kansas to win the Super Bowl at the start. In our mid-season review, you were leaning towards the Ravens. I picked San Francisco 49ers at the start of the season, leaned towards New Orleans a little bit in the mid-season, but San Francisco are still there. John, you were in the Ravens camp for most of the year, from what I remember.
Well, I didn't get to make the preseason pick. So the Ravens was the only one that I made at our midweek or our mid-season show.
So I suppose my San Francisco 49ers are still there, but I'm a little bit worried about them now at the moment, Mike, because they're a bit one-dimensional against the Vikings. And I'm just wondering, are we going to see a little bit more out of my twin brother, Jimmy G?
I think so. I think they played the way they did against the Vikings because they saw that was the best way to cope with their defense. And the Vikings coming at you the way they do, you know, with the blitz packages and stuff. They were literally running around those blitz packages when the Vikings were thinking about that. And blitzing Aaron Rodgers is not necessarily a, you know, it's a difficult task because he's so good at making a little bit extra time for himself. Now, San Francisco's secondary is probably better than the Vikings, but they're not a huge pass rushing team. You know, they got sacks out of Bosa, which they, you know, they hadn't in the second half of the season. They hadn't had a big sack game from him, but they're more of a steady pressure. They don't do many crazy blitz packages. Although Saleh, I remember sent lots of people late in the season when they played Seattle. They were blitzing a lot, but they depend on Richard Sherman, you know, to shut down the best receiver. I have no doubt that Richard Sherman, Devontae Adams will be a matchup for most of that game. And they've got very good linebacking to cover the middle of the fields, which can help take Jimmy Graham out of the equation. Not that Graham is literally not that Graham is going to beat you.
He's not really in the equation these days. Obviously, he got a few passes the other night, but he is a shadow, really, of the player we have seen in previous years.
Yeah, and so, you know, so I think San Francisco defensively is pretty well equipped to hold Green Bay in check. And so the question to me is whether Green Bay's defense, which is a really kind of, it's a kind of funny one, because sometimes you just get the sense that Mike Pettine is guessing what play is going to be called and is calling a specific defense to stop that play. But if Kenny Clark has another good game, the way he did, against Seattle, that would be huge for him. And then the Smith brothers have provided a lot of sack material, for the Packers. They had two each against Seattle. So that's going to be, to me, what they try to do, is disrupt Garoppolo. And I think that San Francisco probably does try to run the ball quite a bit again, but also turns back and gets George Kittle more involved in this game. I think they're going to challenge, them to cover Kittle, which Seattle did very well. He only had 3 catches, and I had bet him to go over 6.5. So yeah,
I guess that was another
problem.
Yeah, you double him though, and you leave people like Debo Samuel open there to take
opportunities. Yeah.
So that's the danger.
John, do you think San Fran run the ball because then Jimmy G won't get hit in the face?
Well, from my perspective, that's what I would prefer.
From my perspective, that's what I would prefer.
Do you remember Peter Jennings, who was ABC News' anchor for years and years? He was also the London anchor for many years before that. Peter used to play touch football with us on Sundays. Oh. And when they moved him to New York, he and his wife, Caddy Marston, who was a reporter herself, came back to clear out their house and move the stuff to New York. And we had a game that Sunday, so he was playing. And he's quite good, actually. And Caddy literally went to each of us after we chose up teams on the other team and said, "Don't hit him in the face. He's making too much money."
That's the moneymaker right there. Yeah. Kieran actually says the same thing before each podcast.
I say that a lot. Yeah. And I'm playing Astro tonight at 6 o'clock, and I will inform everyone.
Sit down with everybody, a good 15-minute chat.
I'm not to
beforehand.
Be hit in the throat or voice area, and obviously the face needs to be kept in check.
Everything else is fair game, though.
From the shoulders down, have at it.
But Kieran, I think
I want to get on a pitch. I want to get on a pitch and give me a hurley and put Kieran on the other side.
We all do, Mike, believe me.
You'd be surprised how manly I am once I step onto that pitch.
But Kieran, there was a question there at the beginning of all that, was there? Did you ask me a question?
He did, but I interrupted.
Yeah. Do you expect San Francisco to run the ball as much as they did?
That's what they've been doing to this point, really, isn't it? I mean, they
have the options out wide as
they
well.
They do, and like we just talked about Kittle as well. But what was it? I've got the numbers here in front of me somewhere, but Jimmy G had very few passes last week. I think it was about 10 or 11 completions, something along those lines. Which, by the way, how interesting, just to take it on a tangent slightly, but how interesting do you think a 49ers Titans game would look? And would there be like a cumulative total of 15 passes by both quarterbacks?
Well, I can tell you that if the San Fran and Titans was the Super Bowl, I can tell you that the handicap would be 4.5.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me in terms of the lines for this week's games, but what do I know? How many times? Derrick Henry ran the ball 30 times, right, for the Titans?
Yeah, he did.
Coleman, Mostert, and Breida together ran the ball 42 times for the 49ers and gained 180 yards. So, what was Henry? 30 for 195. So Henry was a little bit more efficient, a lot more efficient, actually. But they did concentrate on the run. And you know, the three guys kind of bring different things to the table. And one other thing I think you might look for is play action and trying to get them out of the backfield, especially Breida, who's a really good receiver. And have them catching some balls this time.
Yeah.
Let's get our collective views on everything, really. Then let's start back with the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think all three of us expect that Kansas will win the game.
My usual caveat, where I'm going to come back in 2 weeks and complain, I should have picked the Titans. I thought about it the whole time. I think I don't want to really repeat too much of what I said earlier on in the show, but This is one of those ones I'd probably even be holding my bet to the first couple of quarters just to see exactly how it's going if I'm doing live betting. But without that, you know, ability right now, it's very difficult to not pick the Chiefs and kind of pick them handsomely. But I'll be very, very curious to watch the first quarter and a bit of that game to see how it's developing and how Derrick Henry's playing. And if the Chiefs are getting success, if Mahomes is having one of his days like he had last week, it's almost a write-off. There's no point in even thinking about it.
For me, I think the Titans, I don't know if they come in battle-weary or battle-hardened. I think there could be a bit of battle-weariness starting to come in. Mm. And I think one of the things with Kansas is they rested a lot of players the previous week, and that's maybe why the first quarter was a little bit
perhaps, yeah.
And then they got into gear, and then by the second half, they had completely kicked into gear. Their defense shut down the other team, whose name I've forgotten.
Houston.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. And their offense continued to play as strongly as it had. So
yeah.
I think the problem Tennessee have is that they're coming into a red-hot arena, a place that knows this is a great chance. They blew it last year in the AFC Championship game. There's no doubt about that. They had Patriots on the rack. They let them back in, despite Patriots taking an early lead. I know people will say that, but in the second half, when it counted, Kansas had opportunities. Mm-hmm. They should have won the AFC last year. They're playing a team that if you'd said to them at the start of the season, you have to beat the Tennessee Titans to go to the Super Bowl, they'd have bit your hand off. I think they'll win by more than seven. Mike?
I'm looking at the other game, and I think over 45 in that game looks fairly attractive to me, Green Bay and San Francisco. And I kind of like the Packers with 7.5. Because I thought the line would be 5.5. So, you know, so they're getting more points than I thought. I think over 45 will be my best bet. And I'll be over 45 in that game.
And do you think, just back on the Titans, Kansas, you just fancied Kansas, really?
I think so. And you know, I see two. This is my problem picking games normally. I see both scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, a high scoring game that Kansas City wins, or a lower scoring game that Tennessee stays tight and keeps it. And I'm just, it's like, if I go to scenario 2, 7.5 and Titans seems like a really good bet. But then I look at the possibility of the Chiefs running up an early lead and Tennessee not being able to come back from that. And I think, well, you know, that's it. But then you brought up New England. If you look back at that, you know, New England just ran over them in the first half. Slow start again.
That's right. Yeah, I think that was 21-0 as well.
Yeah, and the Chiefs came back in that game, and then in the overtime they couldn't stop New England on third downs. You know, it was like 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, or 3rd and 10 three times in a row, and Brady completed passes each time.
Yeah, he went to Gronk.
Yeah, and they, you know, there's no Gronk on Tennessee really.
No, there's not. No. There's not too many Gronks out there really now. We may see him back. I know we discussed it during the year. I do think we will see him back at some stage. You guys disagree?
Yeah, I think he might get bored with just being Gronk, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's only so many parties and porn actresses and cruises.
There are only so many porn actresses.
You know, I mean,
John's completed.
How much can one man take, you know?
Porn actress. Completed it, mate.
I was like a half a second away from making the same joke about you.
Well, okay. I also think that the Green Bay, so we've both agreed Kansas will, we've all agreed Kansas will win. I think they'll win by more than 7.5 at the moment. Mike has given us the over-under in the Green Bay Packers San Francisco 49ers under 45 or over Michael. Sorry, Mike. Green Bay Packers plus 7.5 appeals to me right now, even though I do have money down on San Fran as well to win the Super
That's
Bowl.
A good number,
it's not
right?
just a, yeah. it's not just a thing. I don't just say things. I live this podcast.
You sure
there
do
is cash money honey down on the San Francisco 49ers to win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So obviously, I don't want Green Bay to win, but I do think they'll keep it within 7.5.
You can envisage a scenario where a bet could pay off. I see what you mean.
John, do you think Green Bay will keep it within 7.5?
I
don't just agree with me.
I do. I think that should be a tight game, I think.
Just to let you know as well, if these games were to, all outcomes of these games have actually been priced up. If it was a Green Bay Packers at Tennessee Titans Super Bowl,
interesting.
The spread would be 1.5 points. And if it was a San Francisco 49ers Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl, it would be 2.5 with Kansas the favorites.
Kansas City favored by 2.5, and the over-under on that would be about 53.
Yeah, so it's 50 for that one, for San Francisco, Kansas, if it comes to fruition. Those the over-unders you cannot bet on due to the fact the game doesn't exist.
Yeah, I understand that.
You understand, like, phantom game!
Whoever wins, so it's that, in your mind.
That will be the way that will go. In terms of the season, I'll just let you know right now, Kansas City Chiefs are 13-10. San Francisco 49ers are 13-8, have them at 16-1. Booyah! Green Bay Packers 7-1, and the Tennessee Titans are a big 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. So Kansas at 13-10, San Francisco 49ers 13-8. You can have what you want on the rest of them. So we're looking possibly at a Kansas City Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl, Mike.
We're looking at it.
Doesn't mean we'll get it, but we're looking at it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we'll get it. That would be the traditional one, you know, that people would be I think liking or looking at as being the one. If it were the Chiefs and Packers, you know, this is the 100th NFL season, right? And the Chiefs Packers, of course, was the very first Super Bowl. It would be a replay of that, which would, you know, for the nostalgia fans would probably be a really attractive prospect. The Titans, well, you can go back to the Houston Oilers. They haven't been they lost that Super Bowl to the Rams, where Smith tackled Dyson short of the goal line the last.
That's right. That's quite a while ago. Yeah, but I do remember that actually.
That was quite a while ago. Yeah, that was their last kind of moment of glory. After moving from Houston to
stopped him on the one, Tennessee. Right?
Yeah, basically. And what was his Mike Jones was his name, and he was a linebacker who had played in NFL Europe the year before, or in the World League as it was called then. So that was like a big moment for the World League that nobody noticed except the few of us who cared.
Okay, so just a recap of those best bets. It's over in the Green Bay San Francisco 49ers game. For Mike, it is Kansas City -7.5 for myself. John, what did you put down as your best bet again?
Want to formalize this so you can tell me I was wrong next week.
This actually came from some people on Twitter who were like, just make sure the lads actually state their best bet.
Okay, yeah, go on the record with this. Yeah. I'm going to stick to the... I'll go with the Chiefs on the under, I think.
Chiefs on the under?
Under. A tight game, I actually kind of see in that one.
Wow. Interesting.
I think the Titans are going to make a game of it. The Chiefs will sneak through at the end is what I think will happen.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the other interesting thing too is if it's a tight game, the Chiefs have Harrison Butker, who's one of the I was doing my cock up, which is my kicking calibration formula. In Harrison Butker, they have one of the top five kickers in the league, and the Titans went through four different kickers this year, and I don't think they've attempted a field goal since week 12.
Oh, interesting.
It might be longer than that, you know, but they definitely eschew the 3 points and go for first downs. And they've done very well with it. Yeah.
Sentences like a cock up on Butker usually would get me banned from SoundCloud. Just sneak in.
Carlson's original calibration for kickers.
An interesting
unscientific program. Cock up.
And that will bring us to the end of the show.
On that bombshell.
Just two games to look at. Hopefully we've shed a bit of light for those of you who will be getting involved over the weekend. 8:05 start time on Sunday for Tennessee at Kansas, and then it's 11:40 for Green Bay at San Fran, which arguably probably is likely to be the better game. We'll soon find out. We can't really say that at this stage. Thank you so much to Mike Carlson for joining us from Carlson Stately Manor. I know you've got things that wealthy people do on their Wednesday afternoons to do now, so we let you get back to it.
Yeah, I've got to go for school consultations this afternoon. That's always fun.
Back to school. That's really good.
It's that time of the year.
Like
is it back
a couple
to school?
Of hundred parents, you know, kind of lining up outside classroom doors for their appointments, you know, it's worse than being in school.
And John, I know you're probably very busy, sleeping as a freelance reporter on a morning time like this.
Yeah, I just made up that title. I don't actually do any work. Just say things about yourself on Twitter, and apparently people invite you to do podcasts.
And Yes, Mike.
Just survive on the bets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's just the live one. The dream.
Yeah,
live
come on, dream. Derek Henry.
And thank you to Nigel, who joined us today to help the sound and make sure everything was all right the first time. So
Bang up job.
On that. Well, we don't know. We haven't listened to it yet.
Actually, it's nice to have somebody who knows what he's doing around. Yeah.
That is harsh on me. We will be back in 2 weeks' time for our Super Bowl special, which has been recorded on a Tuesday. I think it's the 27th, 28th?
Yes.
In and around that time. It's the Tuesday of that week. It will be out that day. We'll be chatting away about the Super Bowl, looking back on the season, and doing, of course, some novelty bets, which is actually the most fun part of the Super Bowl.
The prop
Who
bets.
Cares about the game?
What color Gatorade?
What color is
definitely
Gatorade?
Definitely going to be orange, just so you know.
One of
I'm
the
getting
best.
In on start, top of this one. It's orange.
And Start doing your research.
Coin toss is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because it gets you going early in the game. You get that right, you know you're on a smooth path. And thank you so much for listening. A reminder, of course, that we have Cricket Only Better comes out on a Tuesday. This show comes out on a Wednesday. On Thursday, you've got Football Only Better and Racing Only Better rounds off the week on a Friday. Please do gamble responsibly. Have a lovely weekend. We're off on a 2 week break, but we'll be back to look ahead to the Super Bowl and, of course, the 100th season of the NFL. Bye for now. Have a lovely weekend.